But Savitri replied to the dark power, "A dangerous music now thou find'st, O death, melting thy speech into harmonious pain, and flutest alluringly to tired hopes, thy falsehoods mingled with sad strains of truth. But I forbid thy voice to slay my soul. My love is not a hunger of the heart. My love is not a craving of the flesh. It came to me from God, to God returns. Even in all that life and man have marred, a whisper of divinity still is heard. A breath is felt from the eternal sphere. Allowed by heaven and wonderful to man, a sweet fire rhythm of passion chants to love. There is a hope in its wild infinite cry. It rings with callings from forgotten heights. And when its strains are hushed to high-winged souls in their empyrean, its burning breath survives beyond the rapturous core of suns that flame forever pure in skies unseen. A voice of the eternal ecstasy. One day I shall behold my great sweet world, put off the dire disguises of the gods, unveiled from terror and disrobe from sin. Appeased, we shall draw near our mother's face. We shall cast our candid souls upon her lap. Then shall we clasp the ecstasy we chase. Then shall we shudder with the long-sought God. Then shall we find heaven's unexpected strain. Not only is there hope for Godheads pure, the violent and darkened deities leaped down from the one breast in rage to find what the white gods had missed. They too are safe. A mother's eyes are on them, and her arms, stretched out in love, desire her rebel sons. One who came, love and lover and beloved, eternal, built himself a wondrous field and wove the measures of a marvelous dance. There in its circles and its magic turns, attracted he arrives, repelled he flees. In the wild devious promptings of his mind, he tastes the honey of tears and puts off joy, repenting, and has laughter and has wrath, and both are a broken music of the soul, which seeks out reconciled its heavenly rhyme. Ever he comes to us across the years, bearing a new sweet face that is the old. His bliss laughs to us, or it calls concealed like a far-heard, unseen, entrancing flute from moonlit branches in the throbbing woods, tempting our angry search and passionate pain. Disguised, the lover seeks and draws our souls. He named himself for me, Gru Satyavan. For we were man and woman from the first, the twin souls born from one undying fire. Did he not dawn on me in other stars? How has he through the thickets of the world pursued me like a lion in the night, and come upon me suddenly in the ways, and seized me with his glorious golden leap? Unsatisfied, he yearned for me through time, sometimes with wrath, and sometimes with sweet peace, desiring me since first the world began. He rose like a wild wave out of the floods and dragged me helpless into seas of bliss. Out of my curtained past his arms arrive. They have touched me like the soft persuading wind. They have plucked me like a glad and trembling flower, and clasped me happily burned in ruthless flame. I too have found him charmed in lovely forms, and run delighted to his distant voice, and pressed to him past many dreadful bars. If there is a yet happier, greater God, let him first wear the face of Satyavan, and let his soul be one with him I love. So let him seek me that I may desire. For only one heart beats within my breast, and one God sits there throned. Advance, O death, beyond the phantom beauty of this world, for of its citizens I am not one. I cherish God the fire, not God the dream. But death once more inflicted on her heart the majesty of his calm and dreadful voice. A bright hallucination are thy thoughts. a prisoner haled by a spiritual cord. Of thy own sensuous will, the ardent slave, thou sendest eagle poised to meet the sun, words winged with the red splendor of thy heart. But knowledge dwells not in the passionate heart. The heart's words fall back unheard from wisdom's throne. Vain is thy longing to build heaven on earth. Artificer of ideal and idea, mind, child of matter in the womb of life, to higher levels persuades his parents' steps. Inapt, they follow ill the daring guide. But mind, a glorious traveller in the sky, walks lamely on the earth with footsteps slow. Hardly he can mold the life's rebellious stuff. Hardly can he hold the galloping hooves of sense. His thoughts look straight into the very heavens. They draw their gold from a celestial mine. His acts work painfully a common ore. All thy high dreams were made by matter's mind to solace its dull work in matter's jail, its only house where it alone seems true. A solid image of reality, carved out of being to prop the works of time, matter on the firm earth sits strong and sure. It is the firstborn of created things. It stands the last when mind and life are slain, and if it ended, all would cease to be. All else is only its outcome or its phase. Thy soul is a brief flower by the gardener mind created in thy matter's terrain plot. It perishes with the plant on which it grows, for from earth's sap it draws its heavenly hue. Thy thoughts are gleams that pass on matter's verge, thy life a lapsing wave on matter's sea. A careful steward of truth's limited means, treasuring her founded facts from the squandering power, it tethers mind to the tent posts of sense, to a leaden grey routine clamps life's caprice and ties all creatures with the cords of law. A vessel of transmuting alchemies, a glue that sticks together mind and life. If matter fails, all crumbling cracks and falls. All upon matter stands as on a rock. Yet this security and guarantor, pressed for credentials, an impostor proves, a cheat of substance where no substance is, an appearance and a symbol and a naught. Its forms have no original right to birth. Its aspect of a fixed stability is the cover of a captive motion swirl, an order of the step of energy's dance, whose footmarks leave forever the same signs. A concrete face of unsubstantial time, a trickle dotting the emptiness of space. A stable-seeming movement without change. Yet change arrives, and the last change is death. What seemed most real once is nihil's show. Its figures are snares that trap and prison the sense. The beginningless void was its artificer. Nothing is there but aspects limned by chance and seeming shapes of seeming energy. All by death's mercy breathe and live a while. All think and act by the inconscient's grace. Addict of the roseate luxury of thy thoughts, turn not thy gaze within thyself to look at visions in the gleaming crystal mind. Close not thy lids to dream the forms of gods. At last to open thy eyes consent and see the stuff of which thou and the world are made. Inconscient in the dumb, inconscient void, inexplicably, a moving world sprang forth. A wild, secure, happily insensible, it could not rest content with its own truth. For something on its nescient breast was born, condemned to see and know, to feel and love. It watched its acts, imagined a soul within. It groped for truth and dreamed of self and God. When all unconscious was, then all was well. I, death, was king and kept my regal state, designing my unwilled, unerring plan, creating with a calm, insentient heart. in my sovereign power of unreality, obliging nothingness to take a form, infallibly my blind unthinking force, making by chance a fixity like fate's, by whim the formulas of necessity, founded on the hollow ground of the inane, the sure bizarrery of nature's scheme. I curved the vacant ether into space. A huge expanding and contracting breath harbored the fires of the universe. I struck out the supreme original spark and spread its sparse-ranked armies through the inane, manufactured the stars from the occult radiances, marshaled the platoons of the invisible dance. I formed Earth's beauty out of atom and gas, and built from chemic plasm the living man. Then thought came in and spoiled the harmonious world. Matter began to hope and think and feel. Tissue and nerve bore joy and agony. The inconscient cosmos strove to learn its task. An ignorant, personal God was born in mind, and to understand, invented reason's law. The impersonal vast throbbed back to man's desire. A trouble rocked the great world's blind, still heart, and nature lost her wide, immortal calm. Thus came this warped, incomprehensible scene of souls enmeshed in life's delight and pain, and matter's sleep and mind's mortality, of beings in nature's prison waiting death, and consciousness left in seeking ignorance, and evolution's slow, arrested plan. This is the world in which thou movest, astray in the tangled pathways of the human mind, in the issueless circling of thy human life, searching for thy soul and thinking God is here. But where is room for soul, or place for God, in the brute immensity of a machine? A transient breath thou takest for thy soul, born from a gas, a plasm, a sperm, a gene, a magnified image of man's mind for God, a shadow of thyself thrown upon space. Interposed between the upper and nether void, Thy consciousness reflects the world around in the distorting mirror of ignorance, or upwards turns to catch imagined stars. Or if a half-truth is playing with the earth, throwing its light on a dark, shadowy ground, it touches only and leaves a luminous smudge. Immortality thou claimest for thy spirit, but immortality for imperfect man, a god who hurts himself at every step, would be a cycle of eternal pain. Wisdom and love thou claimest as thy right, but knowledge in this world is error's mate, a brilliant procuress of nescience, and human love, a posturer on earth's stage, who imitates with verve a fairy dance. An extract pressed from hard experience, man's knowledge, casked in the barrels of memory, has the harsh savour of a mortal draught. A sweet secretion from the erotic glands, flattering and torturing the burning nerves. Love is a honey and poison in the breast, drunk by it as the nectar of the gods. Earth's human wisdom is no great-browed power, and love no gleaming angel from the skies. If they aspire beyond earth's dullard air, arriving sunwards with frail waxen wings, how high could reach that forced, unnatural flight? But not on earth can divine wisdom reign, and not on earth can divine love be found. Heaven-born, only in heaven can they live, or else there too, perhaps, they are shining dreams. Nay, is not all thou art and doest a dream? Thy mind and life are tricks of matter's force. If thy mind seems to thee a radiant sun, if thy life runs a swift and glorious stream, this is the illusion of thy mortal heart, dazzled by a ray of happiness or light. Impotent to live by their own right divine, convinced of their brilliant unreality, when their supporting ground is cut away, these children of matter into matter die. Even matter vanishes into energies vague, and energy is a motion of old naught. How shall the ideal's unsubstantial hues be painted stiff on earth's vermilion blur, a dream within a dream come doubly true. How shall the will-o'-the-wisp become a star? The ideal is a malady of thy mind, a bright delirium of thy speech and thought, a strange wine of beauty lifting thee to false sight, a noble fiction of thy yearnings made, thy human imperfection it must share, its forms in nature disappoint the heart, and never shall it find its heavenly shape, and never can it be fulfilled in time. O soul, misled by the splendor of thy thoughts, O earthly creature, with thy dream of heaven, obey, resigned and still, the earthly law. Accept the brief light that falls upon thy days. Take what thou canst of life's permitted joy. Submitting to the ordeal of fate's scourge, suffer what thou must of toil and grief and care. There shall approach, silencing thy passionate heart, my long, calm night of everlasting sleep. There into the hush from which thou camest, retire.